See, sin is never there to glorify us Christians, is it? No, it always brings devastation. You know, that's why people need to know that as Christians, like Lisa said there a while ago, the goal is how much sin? None. That's right. Somebody ought to say, look at that wonderful, good-looking young woman right there. Boy, look at her. She's 70 years old. Look how young she looks. You know, she hadn't had no sickness in the last 30 years. She said, yeah, I started going to a Bible study 30 years ago, and a guy taught me no sin. And so I'm walking holy before God. And so the Lord renewed my youth all these years. And now then, yeah, I'm 70 years old. Still look like I'm 30. Hey. But you know, sin is what ages you. You know, sin is what causes us to get old looking. You know, sin. And the more sin you have, the worse you look. I mean, you just take a person that they've only committed one major sin in their life, and they smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. You look at the average person that has smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day for 30 years, and you look at their complexion and everything, and you look and tell me what those people look like. They'll be wrinkled, you know, they'll be dried up, their skin, because of just that one sin. You know, but not only is your face and complexion dried up, what do you think your lungs are? What kind of shape they're in? That's why people die with emphysema and everything else, and we pray over them and do everything. And in some cases, God does not elect to heal that person. They sin for 30 years, smoke 3 and 4 and 5 packs of cigarettes a day, and now then they're all burned up, and they go and have surgery and everything else, then come here, and we pray for them, and God doesn't heal them. And they die in a few weeks. You know what God's probably saying? He's probably saying, well, if you knew the times I sent somebody by. You know, your little grandson walk in and say, Grandma, you know, why don't you quit smoking? You know that's bad for you. Oh, well, son, that's okay, you know. You know, who was that talking to you? It was God. You know, so, and who knows how many people, you know, somebody might have walked up to you and said, you know, good grief, you smoke all the time. Well, yeah, you know, you need to quit that stuff. Don't you know what it says on the box right there that it causes cancer? Well, yeah, I know, but you know, I just have to smoke. See, what's God trying to do? He's sending somebody by to tell you to stop sinning. Very few people walk up to you and say, Keith, stop sinning. There ain't many people do that, is there? No, there ain't many. But see, if we are sinning somewhat and you see your brother or sister sinning a sin unto death, what should you do? You should tell them. You should tell them. You should go and sit down and talk with them about these things and tell them to stop sinning. Because the Scripture, if you see a Christian brother or sister sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray. And God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death. There is a sin. Now, one of those sins, is smoking a sin that eventually will lead to death? Sure, we know it will. Even written on the package, right? You know? There's all kinds of things we know that if we just eat certain things all day, every day, it's going to lead unto death. You know? I mean, it's amazing the things that we know will kill us. But we just think, well, no, it won't really. It does it for them, but it won't do it for me. You know, we do that, don't we, James? I mean, people are guilty of this. All of us, unfortunately. So I'm trying to straighten up. You know, I've now realized that God's holding me more and more and more accountable. You know, I mean, I'm getting close enough, I guess. Even my wife told me this morning, she said, I'm so glad I married you. I so love you. I thought, wow, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm doing something right. I'm trying to love her. I'm trying to be the sweetheart, you know. But am I always that way? No, no. Unfortunately, everybody works out the minister center knows once in a while. I lose it, you know, get upset, do something, you know, say something. You know, somebody tears up a piece of equipment. Sometimes I'm not the best guy to live with. Hey, what do you mean tearing that up? You know, don't you know better than that? Well, you know, Cheryl says, honey, you need to slack off a little. I said, but that's God's equipment. She said, but you do it wrong. And she's right, I do. But you got to realize I've been working around these old hardcore guys all my life, you know. And I just know one way to tell them. It's different working with men than ladies. You know that, James? Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, for me now, or I guess fortunately, I got all these sweethearts out there. I mean, a while ago I went in, I was hot, tired, I'd been out working, I'm soaking wet with sweat. I looked and it's time for Bible study. I got to run in. I'm really hungry. And I run in there, and Yesha's got a big watermelon there, and Tashiana has cut off a slice. She's sitting there. She said, "Boy, this is really great watermelon." I said, "You know, I'm in a big hurry, but I sure would like to have a piece of that too." But I thought, I ain't got time for it. Tasha jumps up, goes over, slices off the stuff, and starts slicing it up. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm cutting you up a piece of watermelon." I thought, what a bunch of sweethearts I got. I ain't never had a man work for me and do nothing like that. I don't care how good I tell you at what. You know, the girls, there's benefits to having ladies work for you that men don't do. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, it don't make any difference. Keith, you're out to them old boys. If they're eating watermelon, you say, "It looks good." And they say, "Well, boy, let me eat this before you get it then."
That's right.
They ain't going to stop and slice you off a piece and break it and hand you on the tray, are they? Now, but see, that's the difference between ladies. So she set that in front of me. I thought, I really don't have time to eat this, but I got to. I mean, it looks good, it smells good, and I know it tastes. So I ate that whole little slice of watermelon, and I come running back there in the back at 5:10, and Cheryl said, "Are you going to Bible study tonight?" I'm walking out the door, Cheryl says, "Are you going to Bible study tonight?" I said, "Yes, I'm going. I'm going, praise the Lord." But I got all these lovely sweethearts out there that take such good care of me. You know, that's why Cheryl and I call these girls our daughters, you know, because they act like little sweetheart daughters. They take such good care of me. But the guys never did that, you know. So I have to learn how to be a little gentler with the women. You know, Cheryl, my lovely wife, she's trying her best to teach her husband how to be gentle with the girls. You know, because I always work with men, you know. Give me a break. That's why Dave and I enjoy it so out there, you know. If he's over there doing something, I say, "Dave, get over here. I need your help right now." Hey, man, he's right over there to help me, you know. If I holler at a woman like, "Hey, get over here," they start crying. "What's wrong? Do something wrong?" Oh, goodness gracious alive. See, I'm having to learn. I have to be gentle with the girls, you know. But the guys, I can just be, you know, we get along like that. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. But anyway, this sin unto death. Do you think this is important here? There is a sin that leads to death. Now then, we don't know in every case what that is. In fact, I don't know in no case what the sin unto death is. So I'll pray for anybody for anything. But if they have committed a sin unto death, what's going to happen to that person? They're going to die. If God has set the death penalty, they're going to die. And there ain't nothing I can do. And some people say, "Well, you're not very compassionate. I called you 3 times to pray for me." And I said, "Well, I come to your house. I went to the hospital. I prayed for you. I laid hands on you. And it's a month later and you're still sick. It's not going to do no good for me to come back again." You know, maybe, I hate to tell people this, maybe you have committed this sin unto death. You know, nobody wants to hear that, do they? No, they don't want to hear that. Or you might say, "Well, how about your husband? Well, is he going to church?" "Well, he goes sometimes when he has time." Hey, that's not good enough. You know, you got to be producing fruit for the kingdom. Maybe God has assigned the death certificate to you because your husband is not serving him. You know, I don't know. But all I know is if we're people of faith and we're walking where we're supposed to, and we pray for somebody, and one time somebody gets instantly healed, or they're healed in a week, or whatever, and then you pray for another person, and who knows? Sometimes, it's just like Dave's healing. Dave's healing took 20 months. Dave come to me at a year, and he looked awful. He said, "Thurman, look at me." He said, "It doesn't appear to be working." I said, "Dave, repent. Repent. God's word never fails." I said, "You're going to have to get in there." Well, when he finally got healed at 20 months, he wanted to know, "Why did it take so long?" I said, "I don't know. I'm not God. You're going to have to ask the king." So he went to the king and petitioned him. And the king told him, he said, "Dave, I don't know who you are." That was a slap in the face. He goes to church every time the door is open. He tithes. He does it. But God, he said, "You don't have an intimate time with me every day. I don't know who you are." He said, "Well, then, God, why did you heal me?" He said, "Out of your persistence, because you stayed with it. You were persistent. So I healed you just out of your persistence. But he said, you know, if you and me had an intimate time together, life would be different. Wow. Let me tell you, he has it now. He has that intimate time with God. And his life is different. You know, because, man, he's learned the hard way. He learned that God's no respecter of persons. Because, I mean, another thing Dave said, he found that when I told him he had to stop sinning, there were so many little things he did at work he didn't know was sin. Lord, I got to change this. You know, I mean, Lord, I can't lie a little bit. You know. What did he say he hates? He hates lying. And Dave has also learned that every time their competitors would come up, would lose out or something, and they'd all gloat over them losing the business so they could get it, he didn't realize that was sin either. But now he knows that. Where did he learn it? Reading God's Word. Isn't that amazing? You know, the neighbor down the block, you think, well, I'm glad their house burned down. They were just an old bunch, and I'm glad, you know, I've been wanting their house to burn down anyway. I didn't want them in my neighborhood. I'm so glad that they lost their house. Have you heard people that gloat over something when somebody loses something? Do you think that pleases God? He says in His Word, He hates that. In fact, there's nations in the book that gloated over what God did when He did something to destroy a nation because of their wickedness. Other nations gloated over saying, now their wealth will come to us. And God said, oh, if that's what you think when you do that. In fact, He wrote it in the book of Proverbs too. I will destroy you and I will punish you. And people that gloat over other people's unfortunate things, you will not go unpunished. See, we don't believe this book, do we? Serious stuff. The sin unto death. If somebody sins a sin that's not unto death, what are we supposed to do for that person? Pray for them. Now then, since we don't know what the sin unto death is, what should we do for people every time, regardless of the situation? We should pray. We should pray. We should fight the fight of faith with them as long as we can. We should never give up. But when death comes, it's over. Ain't nothing you can do past that. You know, if the death penalty has been assigned to one of us, it's over. But we don't want to go there.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.